Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
When a record-breaking heat wave smothered Phoenix in July, many of the people who died lived outdoors. But according to the county health department, at least 81 people perished inside their homes, victims of a broken or unused air conditioning unit. Scientists say the number of heat waves will soar in the future with climate change, which makes you wonder, what if the buildings in this desert city were better designed to protect us from the deadly heat that's inevitably coming? I went looking for answers to that question as part of NPR's coverage this week of climate solutions. And I ended up here at Paradise Valley Community College in North Phoenix, where a tennis player and his coach were dripping with sweat on the courts right next to a building that could teach us something about the future.
Everything is about how do we manage the reality of the climate in Phoenix.
Marlene Amerzian designed the Life Science Building 14 years ago. Her copper-clad creation stands out against the other low-slung, taupe-colored structures on campus. It's topped with a massive overhanging roof that extends well beyond the exterior walls. That roof is protecting us from the sun. At 8:30 in the morning, it's already 86 degrees.
You can see we're on the east, and the glazing is totally shaded.
So in other words, the windows into the building really don't get direct sunlight.
They do not, and that's the key in a hot climate. And it was calculated with the length of the overhang.
Let's talk about some of these other features. And I love this roof because it's so prominent visually, but I understand it also serves another important function, and that is to capture the rainwater.
Yes.
Is that right?
Everything that falls is collected and used on the site.
Can we see that somewhere?
Yes, I will show you that.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Let's check it out. As we walk around the two-story structure, Amerzian shows me pods of outdoor classrooms shaded by the roof. There's very little pavement, no asphalt. She says that keeps the heat from reflecting off the ground. A stand of mature trees casts a shadow on the building. There's a reason they've grown so big.
This is where the water is coming down from the roof. This is actually sized for the 100-year storm. This is not oversized.
And we're looking at a big pipe, essentially, that's running off the
roof.
That's connected to the roof.
Yes. Yeah. So the roof slopes inward and goes to these two pipes. And there's one on each end of the roof. And these pipes connect underground to a very large underground cistern.
I bet that's a tremendous amount of water that comes off that roof in a big desert rainstorm.
Look it. It's crazy. Yeah.
Amerzian says these design elements make the building more efficient and more comfortable in the blaze of summer. When Phoenix baked under 110 degree plus temperatures for a month straight this July, people living here did so with a sense of dread, wondering, can I afford all this air conditioning? What happens if it breaks? The fact is that even though indigenous people have been living in this region's hot climate for centuries, this modern city wasn't built with extreme heat in mind.
You need to be thinking about these opportunities as soon as you start the design of the building. Let me give you an example. Saying that, for instance, I have sunscreens on the inside of my windows. Well, having the screen on the inside is too late. You know, the heat has already passed through the glazing. It's already in the space. The key is you need to find a way that the heat is stopped before it comes through the glass.
We're on a college campus, not a home. Are you saying that you could take a lot of the techniques that we just saw here and apply them into a single family residence?
Yes. So we just did a net zero home. It's called Home NZ, and it has been now sponsored by the city of Phoenix.
You won a design award for that.
We did. We actually won a competition for it that integrates exterior shading like we're here. It has large area of glass, but it has exterior sliding screens so that the sun does not come within the room. It has an open feeling, but it performs so well that at the most 30% of the roof needs solar panels because the actual operating of the house is so efficient. Part of the key, too, is natural ventilation. We integrated a solar chimney that runs down the whole center of the house. How does that work? Low air comes in through operable windows, and there is a fan system and operable shades that allow for the hot air to be removed at the top of the solar chimney. Now, this is a historic way to design in a hot climate for centuries, right? Well, you don't see them here. Why? I don't know. But there is many times where natural ventilation can actually provide the comfort that is needed without turning on the air conditioning.
You ask such a good rhetorical question. Why don't we do these things in our architecture at scale? What is the answer to that? Do you know?
Part of the issue is that if right now everything sells, so if you have the same team that's doing the same thing, why would you change? Because it's going to sell anyway. What we're hoping with the city in getting the ideas that are integrated into the net zero house out there to the public is to demonstrate how effectively you can implement these concepts for a house that can be implemented.
And it's not obscenely expensive. That's not an excuse?
No. I mean, it's a very comparable cost to traditional construction.
In fact, Amerzian says her net zero home should cost about $350,000 to build, though no one has done so yet.
I think in a nutshell, the homes that we currently have need a lot of work.
Karen Potter works for the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project, a group that retrofits homes. She says a lot of the city's older housing stock will not do well in future heat waves.
So that might mean they have an extremely old air conditioning unit that hasn't been replaced in decades.
Or there's no insulation in the walls.
They could have also outdated windows.
This year, Arizona got more than $47 million from the federal government to help low-income people fix those problems. But Potter says it's not enough. A study from the Department of Energy in July says adopting the latest international building codes to make homes as efficient as possible could drastically reduce indoor deaths during a heat wave. Potter says cities just have to adopt them.
It can make a significant difference how comfortable our homes are and how well our homes are prepared to deal with extreme heat in the future.
And if the projections are true, it will be extreme. Scientists say Phoenix will experience more than 100 days of highly dangerous heat each year by 2050. Back on the college campus, I asked architect Marlene Amerzian if soon we may be forced to build structures like her net zero home.
I think that we should already have been forced into thinking that way. I think it's urgent now, and it will continue to be urgent to be done so that we don't need the energy that is implied. We don't need the water to run all the air conditioning units. And so it is manageable for the extra 10 degrees that we're going to have, maybe. But we have to be very serious about the performance of the structures that we build.
Because as we learned from this sweltering summer, the future is already here.